Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? Happy Tuesday. This is Old School, the new school version. We got my man Harrison that's always on Sundays with me. Stepping up to the plate, sitting in for Austin Norman. We are brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients Butcher Shop. 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat / Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on. Obviously, the Huskers are knee-deep in camp. You got the, the ESPN came out with a list, Harrison, of 32 teams that possibly could make the college football playoffs, which is a lot considering, I think, is it 12 that only gets in? It's not 16 yet.
Yeah, it's still 12, and we'll figure out what the SEC, Big Ten want to do.
Yeah,
because there'd be two major factors driving how these playoff formats.
Yeah, end up setting. And they got a season to play, I think. What the funny thing is at least from my experience, I remember, this is about the time. But at the end of the week, you're probably sick of seeing the same guy hitting the same guy practice, and obviously, you got a game coming up in the season. Get a little testy, but not only do the players get worn out, the coaches get worn out. My man Rich Rod, West Virginia's head coach, had a pretty, quote-worthy day. He talked about essentially kids not being as focused or, invested in the football.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called out his running back room, said he only had two running backs that could finish practice without tapping out. Didn't mince his words. I don't know if he's trying to, throw a shot over the bow, but, dive into that and really what it means. And obviously he's trying to, repeat history of where he essentially, took off as far as a head coach and obviously offensive, minded head coach. And obviously, one of the funny quotes, he said, look, I can play without no running backs. I can run the quarterback or a slot receiver, but I'd rather have, run my running backs, but I'll be talking to my recruiting staff today. So whoever tapped out in practice, I can guarantee you they're going to find a way to fight through practice in that West Virginia heat.
It's a tough start to fall camp for the boys. I will give them that. I mean, that first 2 days, I think it was like a
110,
first days in the summer where it was over 100 degrees. Yeah. So it's like, good start.
Yeah, it was humid too. And, it'll break you down, but you're looking, when you're in fall camp, you got to invest. Playtime is over, and sometimes, it takes some guys a little bit of time to get into the, the grind or, the season. This is part of the season. I think sometimes, people get too, I'll call it punch drunk with the off season, and then just think you just show up and play the season. And some, maybe it's Rich Rod's idea of letting his team know, which, it's his first year back there. So he's trying to really, shake the trees a little bit and to, get guys to know what the expectations are or just what the standard is. Expectation, I think, is probably a little bit, expectations are a little emotional based, but, I think it's one of those things that, a lot of coaches are going through. You heard Ryan Day talk about, trying to teach guys to be, or practice like a pro or practice without pads on. It's changed this whole NIL and paying players or cost sharing, whatever you want to call
it. Oxley talked about that. I think that Media did. Yeah. He said he lost the team.
Lost the locker room.
Yeah.
Lost the locker room and lost every good player he had last year. He lost.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah, like, he lost the quarterback, lost the running back, lost the defensive player, lost the offensive tackle. And those are the guys that were probably at least second, third team, Big Ten, depending on, you know, the depth in their positions. And so he's starting over with a, you know, a program that's had success, which
they got, a few 9-win seasons from Biloxi.
Bowl games and been competitive. And you take a big step back and you lose some players and, you know, you lose the locker room. And, you know, you remember, guy, during the season, I think it was Kevin Sumlin that was offensive coordinator / analyst, got in some trouble and then left. I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil over there for a program that isn't first priority for the student body to attend games and support when it comes to what they're going to do on a Friday or a Thursday or a Saturday evening or Friday evening, you know, or anytime they have a game. And so, you know, a lot of teams are in the same position, a lot of hopes, a lot of dreams. And, you know, it could go by the wayside if you don't, you know, get a hold of your team and get guys to, you know, refocus. And every week is different. Every practice is different. You just try to stack good practices on top of each other. And then, you know, when the game starts, you want to just show everybody how you've been practicing.
Yeah. And if you do stink, the bright side about NIL is easy to, well, not easy, a lot quicker to fix if you got the right access to recruiting and portal guys. I suppose
Do you really think that?
I mean, that's what Colorado did. They didn't win a ton of games, though. I guess I can't really flunk them around.
I mean, in the first 2 years, I mean, you take the first year out of it. I mean, they didn't just go buy a team. They had generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
And one was the coach's son. The other one was Deion recruited him.
Who's the head coach? I'm blanking on it. Michigan State. They ended up just having to fire him and pay out the money. Tucker, he had 1 year where it worked out really well.
Yeah,
but and then it went south.
Yeah,
but you can quick get a spark.
Yeah, well, his transfer portal class, which was kind of like the first one in this new age of it,
really was.
He hit it on everything. Kenneth Walker III was essentially the best. Probably could have won the Heisman if they didn't get blown out by Ohio State, and he was unstoppable. You know, and so but he hadn't had a lot of success before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit on a player like that and hit on some other guys, their defensive players played well, and that's how you get $10 million a year. But you don't keep your $10 million a year by jacking around when you're getting paid that much. Now, everybody else should be thankful because he set the benchmark in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly got paid from LSU. Lincoln Riley got paid from USC.
That's right. He really did start that.
And then there was another coach that got paid off of that because they all said, you know what, if he's getting paid that, we need to get paid it. Oh, James Franklin.
That's right.
Yeah. So as much as people bash Mel Tucker, he did everybody a solid.
He got everybody paid, that's for sure.
Yeah, he got everybody paid, man. So don't be too mad at him. I guess if you were a beneficiary of or benefactor of Michigan State jumping the gun and assuming that he was going to take a head coaching job somewhere else.
Yeah, because that was pretty soon after. Was that year two with that, or was that year one with that?
Year two with that with them, I think.
And then they put out that huge deal immediately after.
Yeah, well, and he, you know, his name had been circulating, you know, with some SEC teams, I think, or something like that. And so you got to pay him to stay. Yeah, a really good agent.
He had a fantastic agent.
But you know, really, you know, there's sometimes you see those stories about guys that, you know, like they'll be on like work release and it'll be from prison and then they just walk. Like there's a guy that was a big time drug dealer who got they went to the University of Michigan. He just walked and they still can't find him. Things like Frank Winters or something. Where is Mel Tucker? Where are you right now?
I'm surprised more coaches don't take that route though.
Just go missing?
Yeah, just like
he's too young.
He's young, but I mean $50 million.
He ain't got.
If they're not in love with it,
that's still up in the air.
Like if you're not in love with it, like yeah.
Oh, he's in love with it. I think he's.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. and T's apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
He's trying to resurface. He's probably just doing a lot of self-reflection right now.
Maybe. I mean, but you'd think he'd like find, you know, not another but head he coaching get, gig,
he
but a
I mean, he didn't get all that role. Money, though. You remember, they're trying to get that money back. So now it's like kind of like Fitzgerald. It's up to the courts now how much he's going to get.
I thought there was quite a bit of guaranteed money in that.
It was all guaranteed, but the way he got fired, they could.
Oh, that's how he's fighting. Okay.
They're fighting it. They don't want to pay that money.
Yeah, Michigan State's
Michigan
fighting.
State,
yeah,
just like Northwestern.
Don't blame them. But
so you haven't got all that money yet. So you just can't go off into the abyss and chill. They ain't just gonna give you $90 million.
What's Mel Tucker's beefing for? How did they fire him to where he says, or where Michigan State's saying like, that's blowing my mind. How Michigan State? You wrote up the deals.
Signed but it was a code of conduct or something like that.
Okay, I'd have to dive into that.
He has some extracurricular stuff, I think, going on.
So I think I'd make up some stuff too if
they
want to
fire you bad enough, they'll make up some stuff.
Yeah, and put it in the report.
Yeah, dude, like Jerry Jones.
Do I like Jerry Jones?
No, that's how Jerry Jones would do you.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's, like, hey, when it comes to money, man, guys, they'll get rid. I mean, Mel Tucker didn't help him. Didn't help himself. But you know, I mean, obviously, back to it. It's obviously, you know, we're knee deep in Nebraska's camp, and you know, we'll have some audio. You know, maybe
We got Butler and Williams all cut up, so we can go anywhere with those two.
Yeah, I guess since we got 10 minutes left, let's see what you know, Coach Butler says. I'm sure he's going to talk about the defense.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll go with I'll give you a couple options there. We'll do that. So we got John Butler again talking about how great the defense is working together, and also you got John Butler battles between the offense and the defense going at each other.
Oh, let's do. I guess the offense and defense. Let's do that one.
All right, it's about minute 20.
That's a big veteran offensive line. How would you characterize those battles between the offensive line and your D line?
I wouldn't disagree with your. I mean, I don't really. It's not my job to give an evaluation of the offensive line, but I would say that they are big, and they're good, and I think that's good for us, because obviously the better competition you go against at every position across the field, the better your players are going to get. You know, I think our offensive line does a very good job of working together as a unit. And therefore, we have to combat that with how we're, you know, whether we're executing movements, whether we're executing blitzes, whether we're playing base techniques. I think going up against a strong unit like that every day can only improve that competitive stamina you just mentioned, that toughness that we're trying to build, that physicality, because at the end of the day, I think that, you know, if practice is the hardest thing you're doing, when you go into the games, you're going to have, you know, an opportunity for success. So it's great that, you know, I really feel like we're competing at a high level at every position, receivers versus DBs, running backs versus linebackers, O-line versus our front seven. You know, I think that's been a great competitive aspect of our program over the last 8 practices that I think is just going to get us ready for the first game and then every game.
There you have it. And more on the offensive line and defensive line, not necessarily just the both sides of the ball as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think the offensive line, you know, if you just look at it, they're bringing 3 guys back. Just, you know, you could have a mix of it. Obviously, it's Josh or Evans, Litovsky, and then, it, you know, say whether it's Gatula or whoever else is the third one. And then you got the 2 transfer portal guys mixed in. So just that alone, you know, they have more playing experience, you know, and obviously Rocco and Pritchard had started at obviously 2, you know, well-respected schools, you know, pretty much ever since they've been in college. And so they're, you know, hitting the line running. And so for the defensive line that has a ton of potential and just, you know, trying to get their feet wet, it's a good challenge. And it's a good challenge for the defense in general, just because you got a veteran veteran established quarterback, with a couple of veteran receivers and so forth and so on. So, you know, you're in for a battle every day. I think they probably improved their depth, you know, through the recruiting and portal. And then the defense is, you know, learning what it's like to compete, but then also trying to gel. And so I think it's good sometimes. You know, I'd be worried if the defense was just beating up on the offense the whole time. And I don't think that the offense is beating up on the defense the whole time. So you want that back and forth. And, you know, I can't really speak for this team, but I can speak from experience. There was times where in 97 in particular and 95, well, in particular 95, which is arguably the best team of all time, it was back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't pure domination. It might be for the first half of practice, then we'd win the second half, or they'd win a whole practice, we'd win a second or the next practice. But the competition is good. And so if the offense is humming and playing at a pretty efficient rate, and say they do it during the season, then it's only going to pay off for the defense.
Yeah, and it helps when you got a guy like Dylan Rayola too. Yeah. You got a quarterback that you're going up against who's going to have those, you know, I don't want to take any shots, but, you know, who was quarterback last year for Rutgers?
Oh,
they really struggled. He, I mean, either way, you get a quarterback.
Callum McCannis.
McCannis, that's right. You're going up against like him. You know, if you're in practice, you pull up and you're all of a sudden playing a big-time quarterback who's got a cannon like Dylan Rayola. Just, it's a whole new game out there. But John Butler, I do want to ask you, are you, like, any sort of concern with him in experience or him being in-house guy just taking over?
I mean, just because he hasn't been a defensive coordinator doesn't mean that he hasn't, like, you know, well, I could just go from my experience. There's guys that have been defensive coordinators, and the co-defensive coordinator wasn't by name, was like the defensive back coach. So essentially, the coordinator would call the front, and the defensive back coach would call the coverage.
Because they brought in Phil Snow. So I was wondering if that was, well, I mean, it makes sense to bring him in as well. But
yeah, I mean, he's a consultant or whatever, analyst or whatever. And that's experience and can be a person to lean on. But I think if you just take Coach Butler is coaching the NFL and been successful in different ways. I think the NFL, the way he's had to coach, and especially I can particularly talk about, when he went to Houston, they had a pretty established couple guys. So you're really trying to navigate that type of defensive back room differently because you got guys, you're trying to get them to, you know, you're trying to, and when you're at the NFL, these guys know how to play. And especially when you have Joseph that was there, established corner, he's been in the league. He played, you know, well over double digits in the league, was very successful. And a couple other guys, you're coming in trying to coach, you're trying to push them. You're trying to find little things that, you know, to make them even better than they are. More importantly, when he went to Buffalo, I think it give you a little bit clearer picture. Buffalo notoriously, I don't think they invested enough in their defensive backfield. So you have to develop players. That's what I think, just from when I look at it. Now, was it Ladarius White? He got hurt. But everybody, you know, Poirier, and Hyde, they were a little bit longer in the tooth, but you had to, especially at the corners, they had Wallace. He developed Wallace, ended up being a, you know, pretty good player and playing under what I guess McDermott in their system. In the NFL, you are getting a lot of turnover and you're having to develop guys very quickly. So the experience of doing that and then really turning it, going from defensive back coach to D coordinator, I think gives him, you know, more than enough experience. If you know, and he's in those defensive meetings, and any coach that has aspirations to be a defensive coordinator, you kind of put together your kind of idea of what you would do when you're a coordinator. Now, sure, you can say, okay, he technically hasn't been a DC or, you know, called plays. But I think also when you have a Phil Snow who's been with Matt Rhule for quite some time.
He's a pretty defensive-minded guy.
And he knows kind of what Matt wants, you know. And so if there's any questions, that, you know, it's a good, you know, good person to, you know, lean on and ask – experience, and then also help you, you know, and maybe see, you know, another set of eyes that's not really trying to, you know, step on your toes as a coordinator. So I think I think he'll be just fine. I think now the guys are just, you know, have to get, you know, gelling as a defense, become more efficient, you know, as a group and redefine themselves, you know, defensively. I think, you know, obviously Tony White came in and did some good things, and you know, it, you know, you had the, you know, the convenience and the luxury of, you know, Ty, you know, who had been in college 6 years, Nash been in, I think, four or five or something like that. Jamari was here for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of, had dumb luck with James Williams. And then you were able to get, you know, guys that, you know, MJ Sherman was around for a couple of years. And you had Luke Reimer and all those guys. So you're kind of, you know, had more, not the top defense, but more ready made to take that transition. And then you were able to fit in different pieces, you know, with the Tommy Hills and Mekhi Bears and all those guys. And so then therefore you were able to put out a pretty good unit. Now some of those guys have graduated, gone on to other things, or went to other places in the portal. Now it's not a lack of talent. Now these guys just need the experience of essentially, like Coach Butler said, coming out every day and competing against a good offense.
Who do you think is going to take over as like the leader on that defense? Because I mean, last year Ty Robb, I think he even just does like the whole team. Because Dylan Rayl was like a true freshman. I think Ty Robinson at times kind of became, you know, somewhat of the leader, whether by voice or just what he was doing on the field. Obviously, I don't know the defense. I think they'll be fine on the defensive front. I'm not sure if they'll be worse, but you know, who do you think is going to be a leader on that defense next year?
I mean, sure. You got the veterans in the defensive back room. Obviously, Buford, Singleton, Hartsog, Singleton, could have a really good right? Team, so you got those three. So you feel very, you know, and then you got, you know, Sierra Wright too. You know what I mean? So you got four guys, and then you like Marshall because he's played, you know, Division I football before and was a very productive player, you know, before he came in the portal. So you feel just, you know, your guys that you'd roll out there, your top five, you feel, I'm assuming, pretty good about, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the second and third levels, or the first and the second level, excuse me, is probably going to be a mix of guys. You know, obviously, you know, you got the law firm, Watson Trent coming in. I mean, he's a new guy, but he's played a ton of plays or a ton of snaps, been very productive. He can provide leadership. Then obviously you got a different type of leadership in Javen Wright, where you got a guy that's been able to kind of withstand, some adversity. And then you got Shavers, who's kind of slowly but surely grown into it. And then, you know, you got, you know, guys across the, you know, the defensive line, whether it's Judy or Van Poppel or Cam Linhart.
Right, bottom of Winard too, out of the portal.
Yeah. And so they're going to have to, you know, really, really use, you know, their play first, but I think it's going to be multiple, you know, guys to really do it. And it might have to be, you know, a game here, game two, where guys, you know, really need to step up and, you know, call guys to the carpet. But more importantly, you got to lead with your play. And your play is only dictated by what you do on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's by actions, but there's going to have to be somebody or a few guys step up and be, you know, the vocal leaders. And I think before we go to break, people get confused by vocal leaders. It's not always the quote-worthy guys. It's the guys that, you know, E.F. Hutton, when they talk, everybody listens. And that's only happens by your work and how you carry yourself. But then also guys that will not only I guess, get on you when you're not performing up to the standard, but then also bring you along and they also accept it, you know, if they're not living up to the standard as well. So it's a learning experience for everybody on there. And, you know, they got to develop that pretty quick. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We'll look at, you know, a little bit, maybe the 32 teams that ESPN said has a chance to possibly, you know, make the college football playoffs. That's a lot of teams.
They should have gave themselves 20. I mean, it's kind of
like a lot. That's like anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
you know, and also, you know, really, you know, think about teams like SMU and Indiana that kind of came out of nowhere and mm-hmm. see if they can really validate it. Maybe we'll see if DP can come in for this first part of the hour before we dive into Rich Rod and some NFL notes. So Jay Foreman, Harrison, Old School, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Jay Foreman, my main man, Harrison. Second segment, Old School.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
School brought to you New School Way. ESPN, it's list season, Harrison.
It really is.
And they came out with a list of, or ESPN came out with a list of 32 teams that possibly could make the college football playoffs and the percentage of if they could make it or not. really, to be honest with you, it's any and everybody that you could think of that could go and make it.
Yeah.
You know, the easy ones is obviously Ohio State, Penn State. You know, I think the one that, you know, I wanted to ask you also, Clemson.
Their run's just like, they kind of got the golden road every year. They just got to get their act together. SEC's got a few tough opponents, but I mean, even you're really not too scared of anyone in that conference. Like maybe BYU can be exciting if they have a really explosive offense, but I'm not. I don't know, BYU'd be Big 12. I don't know. With Clemson and Dabo Sweeney, they got a lot, they're pretty much solid on that ACC run.
Yeah, I know, but I think the one thing that they have that a lot of people don't have is obviously a quarterback. They got a serious defense and a really good, at least two bookend tackles on the offensive line. I think that's where they get be on a leg up because they can win it in the trenches. You know, that you kind of always going to figure that they're going to be able to have skill positions. I mean, in this thing right here, they obviously they have Texas making it 84% to make the, you know, playoff, 24% chance to win a national championship. I think that's actually too high for Texas. Unless Arch Manning is that dude. And if he is that dude this year, then he should have been playing last year. I think the first two teams, when you look at this list, you have Georgia, essentially 79%, 18% chance to win a national championship. Now, Gunnar Stockton, I think, is better than what people give him credit for, just because if you saw him walking down the street, you know, doesn't look like much.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be able to run the football. They attack the transfer portal at the skill position, you know, to upgrade because they had the case of the drops. But they have four new offensive linemen, which is not a big deal for Georgia because they stockpile their offensive line. So that's where I was like, well, that's way, way giving them the benefit of the doubt versus Ohio State has by, you know, head and shoulders, the two probably best players in the nation, Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith, obviously, you know, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, they have the two ultimate erasers, then you have Carnell Tate, and they have a couple of pretty good defensive players coming back and Styles and all them. And you probably would give Ohio State the benefit of the doubt of having a quarterback in that system, right?
Yeah.
Like, who do you give more of the benefit of the doubt? Ohio State at the quarterback position versus Georgia, who hasn't looked like Georgia,
mm-hmm.
especially defensively. Now, you could never, you know, record setting in Arch Manning in Texas, considering who Texas lost.
I mean, I give the most benefit of the doubt. Probably, it kills me, but Texas.
With Arch Manning.
With Manning, yeah. I think Arch is going to be solid. I mean, I know we only got glimpses of him, but I'll tell you what, he wasn't missing. And just like the glimpses every time I saw, he looked pretty locked in. And if he's not going to be this, you know, generational talent, I think he'll be all right. He'll be pretty solid enough.
Yeah.
Even I mean, if he won't
lose you games, he'll win you more. Obviously, he can run better than his two uncles.
And Ohio State, without Kelly anymore, I want to see it. And then, you know, think about that Texas game. It's a Sawyer forced fumble. I mean, who knows what would have happened. You want it. You deserve it. Don't get me wrong. You dominated Oregon in particular, but, you know, a few plays away, we're not talking about Ohio State as much as we are.
Yeah, maybe you're talking about Texas.
Exactly.
I think it's more parity as far as teams that are going to win it. And obviously, I think schedule has to, you know, work out right. You got to have guys that, you know, are supposed to be good, have to be really good. And then, you know, the fourth team, which is crazy, considering they went 9-4 last year, didn't make the playoffs, is Alabama.
I don't. The DeBoer tie does not scare me as much.
Right. And so something about the Alabama. Now, I will tell you, like, it's between, in my opinion, Clemson, Bama, Oklahoma, who has the best defensive line coming back. I mean, maybe that's it. I mean, obviously, they have what the little receiver, Ryan Williams, mm-hmm. and they have a couple other guys. They just didn't look as Trump tight as a team, you know, the discipline. You had a tight end last year talk about guys being late to meetings. Obviously, they lost to Vanderbilt. But the one team right here, you know, after them at number five is probably where I think they start to get it right. And that's Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, where do you have the Penn State hype? Because I mean, a lot of people, Penn State's in an awful place where a lot of people, they've never done it and everyone expects them to do it this year if they're going to do it. Like, you haven't ever won, but a lot of people had them like number one overall because they're bringing a ton of guys back and you still got Drew Aller and, you know, figure out a way to replace Warren. what, because he was such a utility player for them on offense. But the defense, I know they're losing some guys, but every single year it's like they just plug and play, kind of similar to what Georgia's going to do with their offensive line. I'm not buying it independent. I think they'll be exactly what they always are, which is unfortunate for Franklin and crew, but I'm not buying into those guys doing a whole lot.
I think they'll make it. I think they, I think they're getting a little bit of Ohio State benefit of the doubt because Ohio State brought back a ton of players. And so that's what they did. You know, you bring back two running backs that got NFL talent, quarterback that shows some improvement. You got young guys coming up on defense like LeVar Arrington Jr. You got the defensive end that's all conference, defensive tackle, offensive line. And you figure that they'll be better out at the wide receiver position. So just on that, they're getting the benefit of the doubt based on what Ohio State did and everybody else having to replace so much that they'd be competing against. You got to think Oregon lost a lot. Texas lost a lot. Ohio State lost a lot. Bama lost a lot. But they are getting way too much benefit of the doubt. And so that, I think the two teams I think they're in the best position are Penn State and Clemson. Because they have the quarterbacks coming back, and they have what you could deem as the ultimate equalizer outside of that. Two running backs for Penn State, and always a defense, right? And they got Jim Knowles. So Ohio State not only lost all those players, you lose your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator. There's going to be transition. And then for Clemson, you know, the offensive line and defensive line. And you have potentially the number one overall pick in Cade Klubnik. So that's where I think they are in a good position. Now, granted, they start off the season against LSU at the crib.
Yeah, it's a...
That's a game you have to show well.
That's a tough one. I don't care what LSU even looks like. You said it's on the road?
No, it's at home. It's the battle of it's the battle of Death Valley. Do you know the story behind this?
Not the entire history, yeah.
Yeah, so one of them started calling their home stadium Death Valley. Mm-hmm. Then the other one beat them, and then now they're just kind of going back and forth.
Oh, that's how that works?
Yeah. So okay. LSU's Death Valley, and so is Clemson. So they're going to Clemson's Death Valley.
But it's all Death Valley.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they are doing a lot of wolfing right now. Like, I'll see you first week of the season. We'll see.
That's going to be good. I was going to pop off right away.
Yeah.
And we'll get to figure out about Texas, Ohio State. That's week one, too, I think. Right out of the gate.
Yeah, no fair dodging. I mean, you know, I think
Indiana dodged some bullets early on.
Last year?
This year, they're coasting. They're like, we don't even want Virginia. Well,
yeah.
We did too with Tennessee. So I think we're all, everyone's dodging a few bullets now. But
well, the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Apparently.
Let me ask you this before we go to break. Are you a believer in Notre Dame?
No. I'm just, no.
So do you think Notre Dame's run last year was the best, that's the highest they could go?
I'm not going to say he can never make it, but I'm just not super high on him. I'd give him a shot in the dark. But it would be, I'd probably have to get to like 10 before I circle Notre Dame as a team. Yeah. I like to really win it. Maybe even past that.
Well, you know who they play, though, right?
Right out of the gate?
I don't think right out of the gate, but you know they play the Miami Hurricanes again. It might be in week number one.
They take Miami over Northern Illinois. Yeah.
No, I'm saying Notre Dame, Miami, Catholics versus Convicts, part two.
Those guys don't play in rivalry week? That should be like a guaranteed.
I think it got out of hand a little bit.
Well, I'm sure that's probably you put it in early.
I think the fighting Nick Sanders didn't like being down in Miami, you know, without security.
Call him the fighting Nick Sanders.
He loves Notre Dame.
Why? Because he went to Pius.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic school connections.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he loves Notre Dame. He loves Marcus Freeman. Didn't you hear him when he said he said Marcus Freeman didn't start winning until he converted? And that's the truth. He had to, I mean, obviously went through a process.
Right.
He converted, and then they, you know, remember, because he lost some games. Yeah. Remember they lost to Marshall?
Yep, they did. Yeah. That's right. That was a year prior.
Yeah.
Then he
converted. Now he's been smooth sailing, got paid, got a big old house and everything.
Probably that's what Ohio State did, too.
Yeah.
I'm not even, like, mocking it. Like, that was the culture those guys bought into. So
I think Ryan Day went a different route. Ryan Day said, look, these checks are going to be held up till you guys start playing. that's the religion. CTC, collect the check, is on hold right now.
And they all prayed.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So it's interesting with this list. It's a pretty interesting list. They even have Texas A&M in there, you know, which is crazy. Ole Miss on there, LSU. I mean, these are just teams that get to really, really benefit that. I think it really gets, once you get past like 20, you got USC in there, Oklahoma, which isn't even ranked right now.
They not have Indiana on this?
They have Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. Baylor, and then you see number 30. You see him.
I only get to 30. I'm trying. I don't think they have Indiana. Yeah,
I'll just tell you
crazy.
Who it is. It's Nebraska.
All right. Hey, we did make the list. Yeah. Okay.
Number 30. That's why we did it.
We better if we're bringing it up to 30. What is the seed? Make playoff 10.3% chance.
And they have a 0.1% chance to win it all.
I mean, if
the toughest test is Penn State. That's what I said. And it's just because it's in Happy Valley.
Yeah, it's in Happy Valley. You got Michigan right out of the gate two to really get you ready. If you're not 3-0 at that point, you're already sweating. It means you probably drop the game to Cincinnati and KC.
No, they're saying that Nebraska holds serve against Cincinnati, Akron, Houston Christian. This is where I think this whole thing is stupid. Like, they've shown you who made it last year. The non-conference doesn't matter.
Yep.
So then now you don't do a big non-conference game. Now they're trying to hold it against a team like Nebraska. So what they're saying is if you're a preseason or you get the benefit of the doubt, if you're in that group to get the benefit of the doubt, you don't have to play a big non-conference game. But if you haven't, and if you're not in the good old boy club, then we're going to hold it against you that you do the same things that we do.
We just got to spread it out.
Yeah.
With the non-con games. Because, like, again, if
like every like 3 or 4 years or something.
No, just like, you know, spread out the non-con games. Because if you just pull an Alabama and put it in like week 9, then we bat an eye at it.
Yeah, you gotta get that's a stat game and get that, so that you know what those games are, Harrison. Obviously, they do it right before they go.
Yeah, get rest.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the games to where, say, you got a guy that's struggling. Say he's the backup, a little disgruntled. Hear that he might go in the portal.
Mm.
Get your starters out, let him rush for about 200 or get him 100 yards receiving. And he's right back in line for the next week when you play Auburn, and he has probably a big catch on third down. That's a get-right game.
It is.
Yeah, we used to play Pacific back then. No offense to, you know, people that we played Pacific, but, you know, that was a get-right game. That was a get yours, and you got to get out because you might only play 10, 12 plays.
Yeah, we'll see. Vanderbilt used to be a go get yours game too in the SEC, but see what
not no more. Pavia does. Not no more, man. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, come back, dive into what Rich Rod had to say, and then we'll see if DP comes in. We'll ask him what his thoughts are on old school about the Huskers this year and what it is like in camp. Jay Foreman, my man Harrison, old school. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back, Jay Foreman, Harrison, old school. A lot going on, Harrison.
Plenty.
Yeah. They never knew anybody flubbed numbers like that, though.
Happens every year. There's always a prospect.
I wish I could have flubbed my numbers with my stats. You know what I'm saying? But one guy that's not flubbing any numbers is my man, Rich Rod. Rich Rod said this. He said, listen. He said, I don't know what these dudes do at night. He said, they're going home and watching guys in their pajamas dance around. Or what's the Barney? Watching Barney.
Yeah.
And then dancing. He essentially said his team is just lack of, that was letting you know their team is just has a lack of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, they asked him about practice. He's like, man, I only had two running backs that could finish practice. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, what I mean is only two guys started the practice that finished it without tapping out. Then they say, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, and then he caught himself. And what he means is like they were constantly taking breaks, probably getting their ankle taped, a little dinged up, getting something checked out. Only had two guys could start to finish. But he also let them know, as they're probably in the locker room, it's probably in a real comfortable locker room or heading back to their apartments or wherever they live at, that he was going up to talk to the recruit. He said, oh, yeah. He's like, if you don't think I'm going to have a meeting with my with the recruiting department, he's like, you must be crazy. He's like, this is a business. And so he's really just probably going through.
A little bit of what Dana did when he first got here.
A little bit of that.
Like,
a
just calling bit, it out for yeah, what it is. Yeah, real quick.
A little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Resetting the standard. Also has in the back of his mind history of what, because he's like, you know, he said he's coached some pretty good running backs. He's always been pretty successful, especially at West Virginia. What the standard is there is running the ball. What his idea of toughness is. But then also coaching these guys, I guess, would that be technically called passive aggressively through the media, direct but indirect, right?
Depends. Like, if the guys didn't listen to you in their face, it's like, all right, well now I'll go.
If there's four running backs in there,
mm-hmm.
and whether they have their parents, mentors, old trainers that are always checking up on them, I guarantee you they all got text messages with that video right there.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're a parent or somebody or advisor, were you one of the ones that tapped out?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's either no, I was the one that made it, or you started it, finished it. You feel like you got a leg up in the competition because that's where you build trust, right? Because it also lets you know it probably was a pretty hard taxing practice. But then the other ones are going to be coming up with excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used to call those demons. You want to tell me? Want me to tell you what the demons are? This is about the time the demons come out, that people start using demons. Here's what the demons are. Everybody, you know, when you start camp in the first week, everybody's kind of getting the same amount of reps, and you're competing, but it's the newness of real football. The first couple of days or 3 days aren't in pads, and then you hit a couple times and, you know, whatever. Well, about the middle of this week, things change slowly but surely. Guys that have separated themselves, it will show in the practice mm-hmm. reps and the attention to detail and how they're being coached, right? I'm sure they're coaching everybody hard, but, I mean, you'll see it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get 11 guys out there.
Yeah, or 15 or whatever you got to get. You got to get them ready for a game. And maybe practice the change up a little bit. But the demons are, for some of the guys, are the excuses of why you're at where you're at. Oh, coach, don't mess with me. He doesn't like me. He didn't recruit me. I'm not playing the right coverage. They're not playing to my strength.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality is like, you need to learn your checks. You need to line up correctly. You need to maybe, I know Coach Rover puts a big emphasis on recovery, but you're not doing well on your take home test. Say you're not doing well on your walkthrough. Say you're, the last out the press, all those things come into it. Is it fair? No, but that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? And I played, in the pros, you play with some guys, man, I played for Tom Coughlin. Listen, practice start or meeting start at 10, 9:50. If you're not there at 9:50 or close to 9:50, he'll be on you like you're late. But then I've been at places where if the meeting start at 10, that actually means 10:05. Or you've been somewhere where when you have a veteran-led team and you're a young guy, you just shut up and play. Because Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Reuben Brown, Ted Washington, they police the locker room, they police practice, they police the team. And, we went to the playoffs and consistently every year. But they've done it before. So all the stuff that you have to do to really get guys honed in to, play to a certain standard, they handle that. Plus, they can handle not only doing their job, but making up for, young wet behind the ears, Jay Foreman. Yeah. But right now, these guys are going to, the demons will start to develop.
And even though I got veterans,
yeah.
Those demons take over. Yeah. They can't take over.
No,
that's been Nebraska's problem for a long time. Even midseason, you can take the demons, except the demons where doubt would creep in.
Yeah,
well, the seniors were like, we still haven't figured out how to conquer this. And
talking about when Frost was there?
Yeah, that whole era, it's just tough.
I think that was just, it's different now because these guys they do kind of like, they're more trying to create a bond where they got to be, they're holding each other accountable. I think like one of the things for, I'll say as a excuse for Scott was COVID. You weren't able to really do that.
Yeah. Those things out of his control that would really wreck any football program, especially a program that's like trying to get it going.
Right.
You survive if you're Georgia, Bama.
Right. But I mean, because they've already had that built, right? Exactly. And you already had your culture and your standard there. So that's where it's at. Then also, I think it became a little bit of like subconscious excuse for some of those guys. And that's actually all they wanted to do. Whereas I think these guys, the demons will be more individually based, but they won't let it like go throughout the team because I think they have guys that have, you know, kind of seen it. They know what they want to do. And they know they're in a position to do some things. But, this is a time where you have to really, really start to build up that belief. You know, and, you know, the one thing is that I'll ask DP about it. We'll talk about the top of the 4 o'clock hour. I'm a big believer on philosophy. And the philosophy is kind of like, I guess, your blueprint or whatever your philosophy about going at. Then that will be like, you can be a little bit of hope, but that philosophy will build the belief because then it will become your actions. And then you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like for me, like when we did it, like I don't know any better how Rick Neuhauser did his stuff up in Colorado. I only knew what we had to do here at Nebraska because the philosophy was we're going to run into each other 8,000 times a day, no matter rain, sleet, or snow, and it'll work out for us in the game. And it did. And so that's where when we talked to DP about it, the philosophy, blueprint, standard, and all that stuff, how it's like for him or was like for him when he was coaching and trying to build a team. So anyways, we'll take a quick break, come back top of 4 o'clock hour. We'll put the man of the hour on the test and see how he did and when it's hot in 2 days and try to build a program. Jay Foreman, Harrison, Old School, we'll be right back.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.